I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. Stay with us, because in minutes you're going to witness something pretty historic come to an end. But before that, let's talk basketball. The regular season is winding down for Cajun Hoops. Both the men and women had two games left to play entering this week. Cajun men, they look to end a three-game losing streak. Let's see if they do when Troy visits the Cajun Dome. Trojans on the fast break. Thomas Dowd finishes with a dunk. Troy has the lead. They extended it to as many as 20 at one point. Then in the second half, Cajuns would end up climbing back. Kobe Julian from the baseline goes up and in. Julian had 21 for the Cajuns. However, they were not able to complete the comeback, falling 87-73.
Ball over late several times. Could not make three-point shot. You know, the last four games were 17 of 81. And I don't know what percent that is. It's about 20, I would imagine. And then the second half of those four games were 8 for 50. We missed shots at the rim that we've got to make. We didn't do that. And then we had bad turnovers that led to baskets for them. And, you know, turned it over 20 times again. And Jay was talking about, you know, they had 16 steals. Well, if I throw you the ball, you know, and that's what we did. We threw it to the wrong color jersey.
So the Cajuns will try to snap their losing streak against USM. It was the Joe Charles show in the first half. Karen Crow Joe scored the first 10 points for the Cajuns. Three cutting through the lane. He had 16 points, 14 boards in the night. Then Kobe Julian going to the rack. He had 10 points. Cajuns had six players in double figures and win 77-61. They're going to be the fifth seed in the Sun Belt tournament coming up.
Very important. Like you said, we didn't want to go to a tournament with a losing streak. We wanted to get the win, get the fifth seed, so we could be at the top of the bracket and start rolling when we get in the tournament.
We really just need a reality check at the end of the day, take a look in the mirror and then go out there and play. But I feel like we definitely got it clicking tonight, and we're going to fuel off of this.
Now, women's hoops is entering the week. They're looking to finish strong as well. South Alabama at the Cajun Dome. Brandi Williams on the drive hits the first two of the game for the Cajuns. It's still in the first quarter. Tamara Johnson stops, hits the 10-footer off the inbounds pass. This game, nip and tuck the whole way. South Alabama would make some clutch free throws down the stretch, and they would go on to win 46-43, your final.
It's like we won the game, you know? I mean, if you look at all the points on turnovers, points in the paint, second chance points, fast break points. I mean, we won about all of those, and not by a little bit, but by a lot. You know, I think the only one I think that stands out is to me is the free throws. You know, we're 2 for 7. You lose by 2 points, and I think we missed some crucial free throws along the way. And I thought we were aggressive to the goal, you know. But, yeah, you shoot 28% from the free throw line. It's difficult to win at home or even at home.
Cajun women also ended their regular season with Southern Miss. There's Brandi Williams connecting from three. She led the Cajuns with 20 points. This game would go into overtime. 49-49, Destiny Rice getting all the way to the bucket. Louisiana up by two. Cajuns down two in the final seconds of OT. Tamia Robinson pulls up. That goes. She's fouled. She had 9 points. Her last three gave Louisiana the lead back. Cajuns would win 58-57 in overtime. For Coach Gary Broadhead, career win number 200 as Cajun head coach.
One of those games that, you know, you rely on your players to lead you, and you just could see at the end, especially I noticed her, like, with 18 seconds left, and we're down by four, and she just, you know, comes to the timeout and says, hey, we got this. We're going to get this done. And so, that to me, that's important. You know, that's a lot of growth that you see in these young kids, so it was fun to see, you know, us to be able to finish like that, because that was a tough game.
It wasn't really for me. The play wasn't for me. It was just to get it to T and see if we could get something out of it to get the B-dub for a shot. But since they sagged off, it just left me wide open. So I'm just thinking, like, we got 5 seconds left. Just go get a bucket. So that's all.
On Raging Cajun Baseball, they had a tough weekend last weekend, salvaging it. by winning Sunday against Rice last Sunday after dropping games 1 and 2. Onward and upward for Louisiana. 4 games this week, including 3 in Houston, Texas. But first, Northwestern State and the Cajuns from the Teague on Wednesday. Tate Hess on the hill for the Cajuns, getting a strikeout. He had 4 of those in 2 innings of work. Let's fast forward to the 7th inning. 2 on for Kyle DeBarge. He rips this one down the left field line, and it is gone. A 3-run shot. That gives the Cajuns a 14-4 win in 7 innings. On to Houston. Cajuns taking on number 9 Vanderbilt from the juice box. Caleb Stelly in the 4th inning. Back up the middle. DeBarge would come around to score. 1-0 Cajuns. Still in the 4th inning, Clay Wargo would be up at the dish. He would lay down the bunt. A run would score. However, he would get thrown out at 2nd base. John Taylor, he would be your next batter up. And for him, a hot shot back to the pitcher. It gets knocked down away from the pitcher. Another run scores. 3-0 Cajuns. Vanderbilt pushes it back to a tie at 3. They would go on to win 7-4. Saturday night, Cajuns took on LSU. Bottom 5th, 1-0 Tigers. Hayden Travinsky goes to left. 2 Tigers come across. That's part of a 4-run inning. Top 6 with 2 Cajuns on. Duncan Pastor, high, deep history. It's a 1-run game with Pastor's first homer of the season. However, Tigers would hang on to win this one 5-4. Cajun softball had a tough week last week as well. Coach Jerry Glasgow's team was 1-for-4 in the Lone Star State Invitational. What he wanted to see from his team was the want and desire to compete. He believes this team has the pieces to be a force to be reckoned with in college softball. What Coach Glasgow saw in that Texas game last week showed him that this team has what it takes to be successful like another one of his teams.
But this team can be like that 2018 team because of the situation we're in. They keep fighting for the program. They keep putting it together. And that's what my pregame talk was, and I thought they bought the message and went out and responded. So I'm in a good mood about that, even though, you know, you probably don't expect me to be in a very good mood after a 2-4 week.
Oh, this will probably make his mood even better. Coach Glasgow's team winning this week 8-2 over Nicholls State on the road. 4 different Cajuns posted multiple hits, with Alexa Langliers and Brooke Ellistad joining Sam Rowe and Victoria Valdez and tallying 2 hits as the squad totaled up 11 hits in the contest. 2nd straight game with double-digit hits and 4th time in the last 7 games. After that, the Oklahoma tournament in Norman. Their first opponent, Miami of Ohio. A wild one, but Red Hawks win in a shootout 12-10. Miami scored 6 times between the top of the 3rd and 4th innings. Louisiana responded with the next 8 runs in the bottom of the 4th and 5th innings to take the 9-8 lead. However, they would drop it 12-10. Now, on to Liberty and Oklahoma. We'll start with the defending champion Oklahoma Sooners. Bottom first, Alyssa Brito doubles to left center field. Cassidy Pickering would score. Then, next batter, Ella Parker. She doubles to left center. That lets Pickering come across. It's 2-0 Sooners. 3-0 Oklahoma, bottom of the 2nd inning. Riley Ludlam launches this pitch, part of a 4-run Oklahoma inning. Sooners would win 8-0 in 5 innings. Liberty was next. Louisiana wins that one 1-0. Sam Landry goes the distance, allowing 2 hits, striking out 5. Matty Haydens scored the lone run of the game, coming home after a sac fly from Sam Rowe. In the rematch with Liberty the next day, the Flames prevailed 7-1. Cajuns got on the board with a Sophie Pisco solo home run in the top of the 2nd inning. However, Liberty responded with a 4-run bottom of the 2nd inning. Flames then tacked on 3 more in the 5th and 6th innings. Before the Cajuns left Norman, they had 1 more game. It's a rematch with the defending national champion Sooners. At this point, Oklahoma enters with a 71-game win streak. Top of the 2nd, Jordan Campbell. She juices that one. Her 2nd home run of the year. Cajuns up 1-0. 2 on, top of the 4th. Celia Vasquez sends one through left. Victoria Valdez comes home. 2-0 Cajuns. 3-2 Cajuns, bottom of the inning. Sid Sanders sends one deep, deep to left. Matty Hayden extends, makes the catch, gets the out. Bottom of the 7th inning. Louisiana up 4-3. Ella Ludlam pops up to right. Ball comes out of Alexa Langlier's glove. The throw home is offline. Maya Bland ties the game. We're going to bonus baseball. Top of the 8th, bases loaded. Samantha Grader, a grounder with eyes. Danelli Lecker scores. Cajuns on top. Bases loaded. Still, Sam Rowe, she scores two with that hit. Cajuns up by three. 7-5, bottom of the eighth. Chloe Riaceto, she started the game. She finishes the game, and the game is over. The Raging Cajuns snap Oklahoma's 71-game win streak. They win 7-5 in eight innings. We have more Cajun Nation coming up after the break. We're going to look at the upcoming Cajun football season.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Louisiana football schedule is out. The Cajuns finished last season taking part in a school record sixth consecutive bowl game. Cajuns welcome Grambling to open their season August 31st. They host them. The Green Wave will also make an appearance at Cajun Field. Tulane will be here September 21st. 1 week later, Louisiana plays at Wake Forest. Conference play begins October 5th at Southern Miss. Then the home conference opener is October 12th against App State. We have the schedule on the Cajun Nation page at KLFY.com. Inside Cajun Nation is back after this.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. George Faust here, UL baseball coach, head baseball coach Matt Deggs joining us. And coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate you as always coming in, chatting before the season, getting this set for a little college baseball.
Good to see you, George. Happy New Year to you guys.
Same to you as well. Let's start where last year ended, because it was a good year. It ended in a regional and not exactly the outcome at the regional you would have hoped for, but the fact that you guys kind of got there and just kind of sets the tone for another season.
It really does. It kind of lays the groundwork for a great jumping off point, George. And, you know, the last 2 years, I would call us kind of getting our grit back, getting our swagger back, and building that expectation that, hey, this is one of the best programs in the country with, in my mind, the best fan base anywhere. And to get into back-to-back regionals and win the league and then be in a championship game again last year and have good showings in those regionals. We were right there, a play or two to get into, you know, the final or win the thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You bring up just the fact that kind of getting the grip back, it does feel that way. And can you talk about what you've been doing off-season-wise with regards to continuing that standard and keep and trying to raise it a little as well?
Right. Well, you know, so much of it is driven by personnel, and I think it's just a matter, George, of getting the right guys in the right seat, all headed in the right direction with a lot of clarity and one central vision and focus and getting guys that are sold out and bought into that, and then also got to have a little bit of talent too. So
yeah, it looks like you're able to kind of attack the transfer world. That's the way this world in college sports is right now. How has that affected you guys? It seems like you guys have done a pretty good job with top 25 class with regards to transfers this year.
It's a brave new world out there, man.
Yeah.
And you know, it changes every day. And I think more than anything, you have to get guys that fit what you do, guys that can be coached by you, guys that you know are going to come in and embrace this culture. And you know, the best teams we've ever had here are guys that understand what being a Cajun is, and a lot of them are from around here or this region. And so more than anything, getting the right guys and guys that are hungry to come in and make an impact, make a difference.
Yeah, and you've been really good at doing that. I mean, you've got I tallied up in my head earlier, seven pitchers coming in, I think, just from the transfer kind of realm. How important is getting those guys in to kind of fit in, and obviously pitching's one of the most important things.
Pitching makes the world go round.
Yeah, right.
I've got a lot of gray right here, probably because of a lack of pitching at times or injuries or whatever it is. But this team's definitely built around pitching. And one of the biggest moves we made was bringing in Gunnar Leger, All-American here. I helped recruit him and sign him last time I coached here. And never got to coach him, but got to face him twice and watched him. I think we scored a grand total of one run in two outings.
Yeah.
But he's made a significant impact on those arms. And then we recruited some really good arms, and the coaches did a great job of kind of building our foundation around the pitching. We'd been so offensive and maybe came up an arm or two short in the last couple of years. I don't think that's going to be the case this year if we stay healthy.
When you talk about Gunnar, and I was going to bring him up, and I had a chance to cover him, obviously. And what's impressive about him is you always knew what you were going to get with him on Friday night. He was coming through, no doubt about it. And whether or not you scored runs, he was going to keep their runs at a minimum. Not always does that translate to being a good coach, but what do you see in Gunnar that maybe says, hey, that's not going to be the case? He will be a good coach.
No, he's a great coach. High baseball IQ and acumen and just a natural feel for the game. You saw that in Gunnar when he pitched. Mm-hmm. And I call it coaching through osmosis sometimes. Sometimes just being around a guy that you know is a future UL Hall of Famer and was an All-American and won more games than just about anybody there. Just being around that aura, that persona has a way of rubbing off on you. Mm-hmm. And you mix that with what he knows and his style of teaching. And like I said, I couldn't be any more impressed with the job he's done.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun to watch as the year wears on. Obviously, you guys start up in February, I think, February 16th?
February 16th.
Yeah, and so it's a home series. Last year, you guys were on the road at Rice.
Were.
And then this year, going to start off with Wright State. We're going to talk more about the schedule coming up in a little bit, but we'll talk about some of the players that are coming back, and maybe position players, one particular that peaks at the top of your head, and we'll talk about them. We're going to do all that when we come back. Don't worry about changing the channel, because we're going to come back and talk more baseball with UL head baseball coach Matt Deggs right after this on Inside Cajun Nation. Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. George Faust here, UL head baseball coach Matt Deggs over there. Coach, thanks for the time again as we kind of roll through and talk a little bit. We wrapped the last segment talking a little bit about the schedule. You start on February 16th, Wright State. One of the cool things about this year, you guys will head to Minute Maid Park. You'll play in the Astros Foundation College Classic. That's going to be fun. It always is an interesting time, right?
It's a great tournament, and what an honor to get asked to participate in that. It's funny. They asked me 2 years ago. I've been in it several times.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And the guy that asked me was with Shriners. Well, they've moved on. And So I said, yeah, we'll be there. And that was a couple of years ago, and I moved on. It was never set in stone. And so we called Jay Johnson at LSU to set up our usual yearly game. And he's like, well, you want to play twice? And Tibbs said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, we're playing you in Minute Maid. Hold up, we're in Minute Maid? So
we're going
to make a phone call, and yeah, we got your schedule. So we never heard from him for two years, and the next thing you know, we're in it. But we've got a great set. We open up with Vanderbilt at 3:00 on Friday, and then the marquee matchup on Saturday would probably be 25,000 fans in there with LSU, and then finish up at 7:00, I think, on Sunday against U of H.
You talk about LSU, and you had a chance to play them in the fall. How do you feel that went? I mean, LSU.
It was a great game. First nine innings.
Yeah.
I think it was 1-1 going into the ninth. I've never seen that much pitching on display in a college game. Probably a realistic estimate, there was 5-6 future big league arms from both teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was 1-1 going into the ninth. I think we dropped it 3-1 maybe. But it was a good day. They are loaded with arms. Flip, you know, the script from last year, they're very offensive this year. I think it's going to be centered more on pitching, a lot like us.
Yeah, sure.
But it was a great game, and I love playing those guys. Jay and I have been competing against each other since he was at Arizona. I was at Sam. And just have a way of sharpening up each other and our teams. And so that's something I think we'll continue to do every fall. But I like the way we played, but we also got exposed too. There's definite adjustments we want to need to make and want to make if we're going to take that next step and get to Omaha.
Obviously, LSU won the national championship. They're a huge SEC power. But what strikes me about the Sun Belt Conference is the fact that that's a Power Five baseball conference.
That is. We were the fifth rated league in the country last year, and you look at it, George, and to the common eye, you go, well, fifth, but you go SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, and then the Sun Belt.
Right.
And it's a close, you know, fourth right. and fifth right there.
Sure.
You know, putting four and five teams in regionals, and I think it'll be more than that this year. You have host inside of that, and it's become just a power baseball conference.
It's amazing. I was looking at the schedule, and I was like, there's no breaks here. Like, Southern Miss, Coastal, the list goes on.
And we've tried to use that to our advantage, building a little bit more of an SEC schedule where maybe you don't get the big marquee matchups midweek or on the weekends early because you know that you're going to get that RPI in the league. And so maybe there's a little bit friendlier matchups, if you will, at times.
Sure.
But there's still some great games coming in to play us here at home, some really good teams. But you're able to make a little bit more of a balanced schedule, and Coach Tibb and Coach Babb have done just a tremendous job at that.
You brought up something that triggered something in mind, talk about being at home. An unbelievable atmosphere that you guys have at home, and consistently one of the top schools in the nation with regards to attendance. What is it about? I think people are baffled that don't know how good the fans are, the program is here with regards to baseball. They're kind of baffled when they look up and see, oh, this is a great, great
no doubt. And from the outside looking in, you wouldn't know, but the people that know. Mm-hmm. Trust me, there's a lot of teams and players and fans that when they see the schedule come out, they're circling this thing because they want to see this atmosphere.
Correct.
And I'll tell you right now, you know, one of our goals, we have, you know, a vision every year, you know, 40-plus wins in the regular season, top 25 RPI in ranking, win the league, win the tournament, host a regional. That's our big goal this year. Win that, have a chance to get to Omaha and play for the whole thing. But in that goal this year is we want to lead the league in attendance, Cajun Nation. And, you know, right now it's Southern, Miss, and then us. And so we're calling on all Cajuns that we want to lead the league in attendance. And I'd love to put 6,000 in there one night because I'll tell you what, I've coached and been all over the country and been at the, you know, at the power schools and all of that stuff.
Right.
When this place is filled up, there's not another stadium in the country like this one.
That's awesome. It is a dynamic atmosphere. Hey, Friday night, Sunday afternoon, doesn't matter. It's always a great. One guy who consistently has played well for you is Kyle DeBarge. Preseason accolades rolling in, All-American, 371 batting average. Led the team with the batting average there in second in hits. Talk about his play and what you expect from him moving forward here.
Well, everybody asks, you know, how are you going to be this year? And I always say, well, when you start with Kyle DeBarge, you got a shot. And he's just a winner. And he's just got it. And whatever it is, Debo has it. And think about, you know, a guy like Johnny Manziel, or you look at him and he's not the biggest guy, not the fastest, but what's he do? He just wins. He finds a way. Bregman was that way. Baby Blake Trahan was that way. Debo's in that mold of not the biggest, but he's extremely strong and fast, and he just has the heart of a lion and unbelievable leader, and he's our alpha dog, man. And the whole thing offensively is kind of built around him, and never had a player like him, I'll tell you that. And he's got a chance to go top one or two rounds in the draft, and I fully expect him to climb his way to the big leagues.
Hopefully we'll be talking a lot through the season about how successful you guys are this year. Looking forward to covering you guys this season, Coach, and thanks for coming in.
Always great to see you, George.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Inside Cajun Nation. Thanks so much for sticking and staying up with us, and we appreciate it. You're watching Inside Cajun Nation. Have a great week, everybody.